I didn't realize you weren't finished. I'm sorry about that. Everybody good? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. Hi, I'm Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, Jessica was introducing me to people because I've been gone so long, so I'm back. Been traveling just a little bit, but not traveling, preaching, traveling, working, you know. So things to know about Nashville, the music's okay. The best thing you could probably do is go to a hockey game. I had so much fun at the hockey game. I mean, that's where it was at, the Predators. Yeah, I didn't know they had a hockey team up there. And we went to a hockey game, and I ate a hot dog. I had a good day. Good day. If you can go to a game, a professional game of any type, and eat a hot dog, you have now officially had a good day. Tomorrow is St. Patty's Day, right? Yeah, everybody going to wear your green? No, I'm not going to do it. One right here, my man, me too. I'm going to wear green tomorrow. What do you call a dog that spends too much time in the bathroom? A poodle. Who does Beyonce call when she needs her roof replaced? All the shingle ladies. Thought y'all might like that one. Greg's back. Yeah. What do you call a train carrying bubble gum? Train, yeah. It's an easy one. There you go, Stephen. Stephen finally got one. Y'all give it up for Stephen. That's a big deal. That's a big deal for Stephen. It really is. He don't normally get them. I have to explain them after service. I'm like, no, dude, it's a choo-choo like you chew the gum train. You got that one, though, didn't you? That's my man. Let's see. What did 50 Cent do when he was hungry? 58. I thought it was good. And I even put the number 58 as the answer. Right here, 58, 5 and an 8, 58. All right, one more. Why did the cowboy get a wiener dog? Why did the cowboy get a wiener dog? There you go. He wanted to get a long little doggy. There you go, Lisa. Get along, little doggy. Yeah, Greg's back. Let's jump in the Word. Hey, Charles, I have not given you the scripture. Who's running my scriptures this morning? Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's just go there. Yeah, they're in bad shape. We've been talking about an awful lot, but primarily what we have been looking into is Jody had a word for us for this year. She kind of operates in that prophet thing a little bit. And she had a word for us this year, and that word was grace upon grace. That's what we'd be looking at this year. And she has a whole lot of information on it. She's done a lot of study on it. You know, if you need to hit her up and say, hey, Jody, you know, let me see your notes on that thing. Anyhow, grace upon grace. And we took that and we started to talk about our vision, to get our vision, you know, for what God needs for us to do this year. And then from there, we got over into something that we called unbelief, to where we started talking about our faith a little bit, and unbelief, and the unbelief came in. And then the last service, I think, that I was here, which was a long time ago, the last service, I think, we talked a little bit about grace with Mephibosheth. And we were talking about how, you know, David gave Mephibosheth him. Gave him all kinds of grace and all kinds of access to his house. It's King David. King David set him up like a king and let him sit at his table and eat at his table because of David's covenant with Jonathan, who was that guy's daddy. Okay? So Jonathan had a kid. His kid's name was this guy. And that kid did not know that his daddy had made a covenant with the king of Israel. And since he had made a covenant with the king of Israel, David even said, he said out there, he said, is there no one left of the household of Saul or Jonathan that I may bless? Is there anybody left that I can bless and go after? And it's such a pretty picture of the relationship that we have with God and Jesus. God cut a covenant with Jesus. Whenever we're looking at the cross and whenever we're looking at Calvary, we're looking at it's actually a covenant being cut between Jesus and the Father on that day. And whenever it happened, there's even God, you know, he turned his face because all that cut, whenever he made that covenant with him, Jesus said, I will take upon myself the sin in the entire world. So God had to even turn his eyes away from Jesus on that day as the covenant was being cut. And the cool thing for us is now that that covenant has been cut, it's been made between Jesus and God. Now, there's one thing about God. Do y'all know what God cannot do? He cannot lie. Do you know one thing about Jesus? Jesus is the same when, yesterday, today, forever. The covenant will never be broken. The covenant will always remain throughout eternity because God made a covenant with Jesus. He basically made a covenant with himself so that he knew it would not fail. He had cut a covenant with Abraham. He had cut a covenant with Moses. You know, he had excuse me. He had covenant with men in times past, but how many of y'all know that us men and ladies, we have a tendency not to be the same yesterday, today, and forever? We have a tendency to not tell the truth from time to time. Just saying. I don't know if that's any of y'all. You know, of course, you know, me, I'm perfect in every way. I'm like Mary Poppins. I'm practically perfect in every way. Yeah, that's a reference. Anybody got that reference? That's right. But he, since he had cut covenant with man in times past, he realized that man was going to be flawed. He knew man was going to be flawed, and so he made a covenant with himself. And just like David and Jonathan made that covenant with each other, so did God and Jesus make the covenant with each other. And we, through our faith, get to benefit from and enter into that covenant with belief in Jesus Christ. The covenant was cut for us. Jesus died for us. Jesus shed his blood for us. He gave up his life for us. God cut the covenant with Jesus for us, for you. It was made for you. There was a reason behind it. The purpose behind it was for you. Not only all of mankind, yes, all of mankind, but more specifically, you. You get to participate in a covenant between God and Jesus that you didn't have nothing to do with. Are y'all with me? You get to use your faith to access his grace to become what you could never be on your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's look at this one. For he made him, just talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. At the end of the day, it is by faith that we access grace. Ephesians chapter 2 says that it's by grace that we... Go to that one if you would, Jenny. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We'll look at that one. And then we'll go come back here. Y'all stay right here, okay? For by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. So what happens here is our faith, our belief system, what we believe to be true, what happens, what we really, 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 really true. This is of our heart. What we believe gives us the opportunity to access grace, which is God's ability. It could be unmerited favor. It's grace is so hard to figure out. They're still defining it different ways today. Somebody out there right now is writing and working on some sort of dissertation somewhere, and they're in some Bible school somewhere, and they're trying to say, well, no, grace is really this. We don't know what it is because it's God's side of the transaction on whenever we're doing business with him. When we do business with God, our side is faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. We come and we believe. He comes and he brings grace. Grace for what? Whatever you need. Fill in the blank. What do you need the grace for? You want to go to heaven when you die? There's grace for that. You want to be able to pay your bill this week? There's grace for that. You want your body made straight? There's grace for that. You want your family to be made straight? You want things to get in line? There's grace for that. And it's based on a covenant that was cut between God and Jesus, so it can't fault. It can't fail. It won't fail. It cannot fail. It's impossible for their covenant to fail. It's impossible for you not to be able to experience God's best in your life. It's impossible as far as God's concerned. As far as he's concerned, you can have his best every day, all day long, 24/7, as far as he's concerned. All it takes is for us to take the time to access it by faith. Now, let's look at this. Go back to 2 Corinthians, if you would, Jenny. I'm sorry, I'm working you out today. Charles is so happy. Charles normally does the media stuff, and I jump all over the place. Y'all have no idea how hard it is to follow me. Paul's up here nodding. Yeah, he's all over the place. I mean, I don't even have my notes open. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. In this process, where he cut the covenant with Jesus, he made access and a way for us to be right. Right. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness, the right of God. As far as God is concerned, you're great today if Jesus is the Lord of your life. As far as God's concerned, you've got access to everything you could possibly have access to because you're right today. You're no longer wrong. He's not looking to pass judgment upon you. The judgment that you would have received, he's already given to Jesus 2,000 years ago. So as far as he's concerned, you're okay. You're in good, right standing. You're in a place with him to where you can have access to 100% of what he has for you in this life. And I think the reason why I'm landing on this so bad, because this is not in, it's not my notes. The reason why I'm landing on this so bad, so many of us feel like we are unworthy to receive what God has for us. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you probably are. But you're not the point. The whole covenant was cut between he and Jesus. You don't have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter. All he needs you to do is to ask for forgiveness on whatever it is that you got going on in your life. All he needs you to do is say, hey, you know what? I need grace for that because I can't do it. Anybody in here know how to forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself of all of your sins and make it to where everything's okay? No, you can't do it. You got to have grace for that thing. You got to have God's grace in that deal. You have got to access his grace so that you could get right standing with God. And it has zero to do with whether or not you're worthy. Because we're not. There ain't a one of us in this life that's worthy. There ain't a one of us that's done enough good. You can never do enough good to get to heaven. You can never do enough good to get your bills paid. You can never give enough to get your bills paid. You just cannot do it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, Jenny, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2, you're going to go to verse 10 this time. You can't do it. He even set this thing up to where it wouldn't be done this way. Look, he said we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should not walk in them. Go to verse 9. I missed it. Y'all laughing at me. Number 8. I'm sorry. Here we go. For grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Next one, verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody can be good enough to get saved. I don't know why I'm on this. This is elementary stuff. But somebody in here needs to hear this. You can't be good enough. All right, so let's think about this. I'm trying to figure out how to say this the right way. It's almost like we are trying to do good to obtain something that we already have. Okay? And because we're focusing so much on us doing good so we can get something that we already have, we don't realize that we already have it. And so since we already have it, we get to be good. We don't necessarily have to do good all the time. We get to be good. You don't have to do righteousness all the time. You get to be righteous. Is this making sense? Because you've already received that which was in the covenant. If how many of y'all, Jesus is the Lord of your life? When you die, you know you're going to go to heaven. We done prayed the prayer, did all of that. Right. When you enter into covenant with God and with Jesus, the deal is sealed by the Holy Spirit. You no longer have to work for a salvation. You don't have to work for it. It's there. And everything that's in the covenant is yours today. Everything in the covenant is yours today. You want to know why? Because we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because it says in there that you have become the righteousness of God in Him. You are righteous. You are. And I know the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. But if you go read the scripture, it's talking about in the Old Testament before Jesus came and made the sacrifice. And after the sacrifice was made and the covenant was cut, now you can enter into right standing with Him. And you can boldly go to the throne of grace to find grace to help in the time of need, the Bible says. That if we have this confidence in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know if He hears us, we know that we have. It also says that we have, you know, He's able to give to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. The angels are looking down trying to figure out why you're not doing more with yourself. The angels are looking at me going, why aren't you doing any more with yourself? You've got something we can never have. You're experiencing God in a way. You get to experience God in a way that the angels can't even access. The prophets of the Old Testament longed to have life in this time frame that we're in. In this dispensation that we're in, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation whenever Jesus has already cut the covenant away. The Old Testament saints, Isaiah would love to come back and live like you today. Moses would love to be here and be made righteous in the sight of God, not based on anything that he had done, but just simply by believing that Jesus was raised from the dead. What a deal! What a deal. All of them look down on us. The Bible tells us that we're surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses that we need to run our race and lay aside every sin and all the weight that easily besets us. And there's a lot of discussion. My buddy, you know, me and my buddy, we got discussion on this. But I think that crowd of witnesses is those Old Testament saints. They're looking. Go. Do. Be. Make it happen. It's time to make it happen. It's time for us to really wake up to who we are in Christ. We have to wake up to who we are in Christ. We have to wake up every day and say, you know what? I am the righteousness of God in Him. I might not have acted right last night. I might not have acted right this morning. I might not act right today, but I'm the righteousness of God in Him. I am. You want to know why? Because it's based on His covenant with God and my faith in what they can do. I got to have faith in what they can do, not what I can do. I got to have faith in what they've done, not what I'm trying to get done. I have to have faith to access that grace. The grace that we will access this year will be overwhelming to you if you make it simple. Make it simple. Simplify this transaction. Quit trying to make something happen and just let it. Just let it be. Let it happen. Let God move in your life. Actually sit back and believe Him. And go, you know what? I believe you, Lord. I don't know all the scriptures. I don't know all the stuff. I just know that I trust you. I trust you. Make it happen. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Don't try to make nothing happen. Just let it happen. Amen. This year, we're going to experience more grace. You will experience more grace in your life than you ever have before if you just simply let go and allow the Spirit of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, His favor, His ability operate in your life. It'll change you forever. You'll never be the same. Amen. Stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that Greg quit early today. Thank you, Father, that you give us the ability to access your grace. That it's by faith that we access that grace so it can be according to you and not us. So it's not us doing it, Lord, it's you doing it. So that you get the glory at every area of it, every corner of it, everything that happens in our lives. So we bless you and thank you for this word today. We'll not just be hearers, but we will be doers, because we know it's the doers that are blessed. And everybody agree with that said? Amen. Y'all have a good day.